We're going to be trying something a little bit different this morning. As you can tell, the camera's positioned differently, so we are now live on Facebook, so you are part of it. So welcome to those that are coming to us through cyberspace. So it's great to be with you guys this morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15 today, and this actually kind of wraps up our series on regather. And so it's kind of a fitting time for us to wrap this up this week and look forward to not being able to regather next week. So we don't know what's going on with all of the COVID stuff and all of the things going on in our world. So I think the Illinois governor is planning on some things, and there's going to be some changes in our culture. So just be prepared for that, and if something happens and we can't gather next week, don't panic. We will send you a notification. We will let you know if we cannot gather next week, okay, or whatever changes we're going to make. So just know that we're going to be going through that, and we do have the board meeting, elders meeting this week, so we'll be making some decisions about that, I'm sure. How many of you have ever had someone say this to you? You're full of it. Yeah? Now, let me ask you this. Do they mean that as a compliment? No? Okay. Well, in Romans 15, Paul basically says the exact same thing to the Roman church, to the Roman Christians, the Gentiles and the Jews. He says, I think you're full of it. Now, what Paul is referring to is you have, at the end of chapter 15, he begins to talk about how satisfied he is with them and how he loves the way that they love each other and brotherly love, and that they're full of goodness and mercy and knowledge, and they can share with one another, and they can teach one another and encourage one another. But then he says, I think you probably need a reminder on some things. Now, what Paul means there is sometimes we think much higher of ourselves than what God or fellow man thinks of us, right? We tend to think sometimes that we are full of it. That's just the way it works. Now, if you've ever had someone say that to you, you understand right off at the beginning what they're truly saying to you. I don't know if it's necessarily a compliment. Maybe it is. Maybe you take it that way. But one of the things that Paul wants them to do is to recognize that they have this goodness, they have this mercy, they have this faith that has filled them with knowledge, and they're able to love on one another and encourage one another, but yet that's not it alone. I think what he's challenging them to do is simply set an example. Now, how many of us this week lived out the perfect example? No one? Okay. Yeah, no comment. I usually get that quite a bit. All right. You know, I invoke my right to an attorney. You know, usually get that. Legal counsel, please. You know, all of that stuff. But I think the very first thing that Paul wants us to do is set an example as Christ set the example. Now, here's the difference. I think Paul realizes that Christ lived a sinless life. I don't think he's talking about that. I think what he's saying is in your work, in your goodness, in your striving for faith, in your knowledge, in your study, in your growth, set the example. Now, let me ask you this. If you want to look at verse 2 of chapter 15, we're going to start there. But when was the last time you said something positive about your neighbor? Now, here's how God works, because Last week, I asked Bud to if they wanted to do a special. All right? They want to come up and sing a song, and they came up and sang a song, and what did they sing? What did he sing? It's okay, you can shout it out. You don't love God if you don't love your neighbor. He didn't tell me he was singing that. Right? Didn't mention it. Okay. I guess, you know, being 90, forgetful, you know, kind of thing. No? Okay. No. So he didn't mention that to me. I didn't tell him what I was preaching. I don't think I told you what I was preaching on, did it? No. But when was the last time you said something positive to your neighbor? Think about it. Most of the time when we talk to our neighbor, it's like, hey, get your leaves out of my yard. Get control of your dog. All of these things. I mean, don't be parking on my lawn, you know. I mean, all of these things that we say to our neighbor. When was the last time you actually said something positive to your neighbor? Now, living in harmony, like what he puts here, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Now, in the ESV version, it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, to encourage our neighbor. When was the last time you said something encouraging to your neighbors? Maybe the other way to look at this just popped in my head. When was the last time your neighbor had something positive to say to you? Huh? So, listen, living in harmony does not mean always agreeing or seeing eye to eye. I get that. There's part of our lives that we are never going to see eye to eye on. There's parts of our life that we're just not going to agree. And that's okay. Because what he is simply saying here is it's not about me. It's about me setting the example lived out by Christ for my neighbors to see. So, in that spirit, do your neighbors truly see Jesus in you? Do they see the example that you're setting because Christ set the ultimate example? So when your neighbors, or when you put Christ first, your response should be in line with the example of Christ. I've wrestled with this all week, as I told you. I made some mistakes this week. I said things to people that I probably should never have said to anyone. And I had people around me that heard me say this to other people. Now, if you think I'm standing up here because I'm perfect and I live the perfect life, you got the wrong person up here. Okay? Just telling you. I'm just a normal, average person. Just like y'all. We make mistakes. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God. But what makes the difference is that we choose to recognize that and make appropriate changes in our life. If you're not making those changes in your life, what are we truly trying to accomplish? What are we doing? It's about what's good for others. Are we building people up? Like verse 3 says, are we doing things for his good, for their good? Are we pleasing our neighbors? Here's a thought. Instead of just complaining about your neighbor's leaves, or leave them for like a day like today when they're going to blow out of everybody's yard and go across the street into the other neighbor's yard, you're okay with that, right? Because it's across the street. How about we just go over to our neighbor's house and begin raking their leaves? No? I don't like to rake leaves. I'm sorry. I don't. That's one of those tedious chores. But here's the thing. Does anyone truly like to rake leaves? No. But I love letting my neighbors know that I care about them. I love letting my neighbors know that I don't always set the perfect example in Christ, But Christ set the perfect example for me to strive towards. That's what we're seeking to do. I think that as we go through this year, it's hard to believe that I've been here since April, and this is my very first live board meeting. Can you believe that? Think about all of the ways that COVID has changed us, changed our presence in our community. We're online. We're doing things differently now. Think about all of the ways that we have changed and all of the ways that our neighbors have changed, our communities have changed. So one of the things that we're talking about doing here at Central Park is reevaluating our mission and vision for the church, reevaluating who we are and what our target is, what our goal should be. You see, I truly think that our neighbors must be our priority. If we're not truly sharing the love of Christ with them, then what are we doing? I think Christians must live in harmony and one voice, with one voice. I don't know about you. Do you think there's much harmony in the world today? No. Again, I think that harmony is going to come back November 4th, but that's okay. You know, we hope. Okay, and I'm not. I would never preach politics up here. I'm not going to tell you what to do or how to do that. But I think our world needs one voice from which we listen. And guess what? That one voice, it's not ours. It's not mine, it's not yours, it's not the loudest voice on TV, it's not even the loudest voice on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or all of those places. It's not even the loudest voice on the radio. The voice that we need to be listening to is that of Christ. In verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. I'm going to go back to the others, so don't get too lost there. But may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of what? The Holy Spirit may abound in hope. Guess what? That one voice is not our voice. And the example that is set by Christ is that voice that helps us live in harmony with one another. And this is how we do it. Remember who you were before you knew Christ? Do you remember how you lived your life before you knew who Jesus Christ was and how much He loved you? How Christ, in those moments, welcomed you with open arms and loved you and took you and accepted you, washed you clean, got rid of all of that mess and changed you and transformed you. That one voice helped you live in harmony. Just the same way that Christ welcomed you with open arms, we welcome our neighbors. We welcome others to the faith. We encourage them to grow in Christ, to build them up for His good, not for us, for His sake. So I think as we begin today, we need to follow this example of Christ. But secondly, I think we need to realize that the hope of the world is not a political slogan. Okay? Hope of the world, in verse 13, I've read it already, but one of the things that we need to realize, go back to verse 5 if you could. Oh, 6, 7, and 8, yeah. I'm blind, remember? I struggle. These contacts are just eating me alive. So, yeah, I had to go get new contacts the other day, and they told me, they said, your eyes are really struggling to keep up. I'm like, great. So they said, you need to use these cheater things if you're going to continue to wear contacts. Anybody else have to wear cheater glasses? Aren't they the most annoying thing on the planet? I tried it for like 30 seconds. And I said, nope, I'm done. So if I skip a verse, oh well, we'll catch up. So I think I didn't give you five, I gave you six and seven, right? Okay, here we go. Here's where we're going with this. Okay, so verse five. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of that glory that God has, that one voice that we live in harmony with one another, he says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Hope of the world. See, God is hope. See, I hear it all the time. Some people see God in our culture as an angry, vengeful, wrathful, hateful, maliceful God that doesn't love, but he's all about putting his thumb on people and controlling people. That's not the God I know. It's not the God I love. And the truth is, when you hear that statement from people, do you know where that comes from? Other Christians and their actions. That's usually where that anger-filled, vengeful, wrathful God comes from. The truth is, that example we set often shows God as all of those things. And yet he's telling us that God is a God of hope. And he loves you. Hope for today. Hope for tomorrow. Hope for a better life. And if Central Park is about nothing else, I want it to be about the love of Jesus Christ and that God is hope. And through him, we can have hope for a day today that says, no matter what pain I've been through, no matter what struggles I see in my life right now, no matter how bad I mess up this example that Christ has set for me, no matter my struggle, no matter what has happened in my life today, Christ loves me. And because of that love, I am empowered to have this hope that says I can live with joy and peace just by simply calling out on his name and loving him today the way that he has loved me, the way that he has accepted me. I am going to believe in him. And because of that belief, I have that joy. I have that peace. And the power of the Holy Spirit is living within me. Today and today alone, you can have that hope that only Christ can give. Today and today alone, you can say, you know what, God, I have hope. I love you. I believe in you. I have peace in you. I'm going to find joy in my life, no matter the struggles, no matter what I'm facing tomorrow, God. Tomorrow will work itself out. You need a better life. You need a better way of going about it. The only way I know to do that is that hope that he talks about. You see, we find joy and we find peace in believing that Christ loves us. That hope and that Holy Spirit work together for our good. I can guarantee you this week that you are going to have trouble being positive. Right? It's going to come. We have all kinds of things looking at us and staring us down this week, from COVID to kids going to school or not going to school, to jobs, whether we're going to have a job or not, to layoffs, to bills coming in. It is the first of the month, so bills are coming. We have all of these things that so easily wrap us up and entangle us. and hold us back? Will you find just a moment of hope for the future? Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for the future. And then in verse 14, I truly believe that Paul tells them, you're full of it. I truly believe it. But I think Paul says it this way. You're full of goodness. You're full of knowledge in that teaching of one another. And he says, I myself am satisfied about you. When was the last time someone said those words about you? We usually kind of throw it out there, you know, and the thing that bothers me is we throw this word around like it's nothing anymore, that it doesn't mean anything. When was the last time you told someone you loved them? That was one of my rules for my children. They could not tell their boyfriend or girlfriend that they loved them until much later. I don't even know if Lance ever told Hadley that he loved her until they got married. I don't know. But we had this rule because one of the things that we noticed is that our world throws that word around so much. And I don't think they really truly understand the depth or the meaning of that word. And so is it, you know, we see this today. I think Paul is saying, I love you. I'm proud of you. He says, I'm proud that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. He says, but on some points I've written to you very boldly by the way of reminder because of the grace that God has given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, those in priestly service. And then skip on down to 17. He says this, therefore, because of all of those things, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus and the things which pertain to God. The ESV version puts it this way. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work. On the day of your death, will you be able to look back and simply say, I'm proud of the work I have done in my life. I am proud of the work that I have shown and set an example in loving others. And I'm proud that God could say, I'm full of it. I'm full of goodness. I'm full of knowledge. And I love that I am full of hope. Verse 17, when is it that you can say, I am full of it? See, then you can be proud of your work in God. So let me ask you this today as we close. What example are you setting for those around you? What example are you setting for your children, your grandchildren, your coworkers, your friends, your family? Is it an example that points back to the very love of Christ that says, let each of us love his neighbor, do good, not hate, to build each other up? Secondly, do you have hope today? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? This life has just beat me to a pulp this week. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to go from this evening to tomorrow. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I can't deal with the past. Because that past is giving me no hope for the future. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, today is a day where I can truly come in and I can love Christ. I can be living that life of joy and peace. I can follow God. I can believe in Him. But I just don't know how. You're here today for a reason, and that reason is simply this. That you are here today because Christ is calling you. Christ is telling you that He loves you, that He wants to come into your life, that He wants to take that yesterday and change it and transform it so that you can have hope today for a future and a better life tomorrow. Don't leave here with all of that weight and all of that pain bottled up inside. Because you're not fooling anyone. And what God wants to do is fill you full of it today. Full of grace. See, the only way that we get that is by accepting the love of Jesus Christ, who died a sinner's death for the sins of a world. He bore that sin, that shame, that pain upon His shoulders that we might have life everlasting. If you just call on His name today. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you once had that hope, you once loved in God and you once trusted in Him, but something's happened from yesterday to today and you're struggling and you might need to just rededicate your life. You might need to just ask for prayer. Whatever that need is, whether it's giving your life to Christ for the very first time, rededicating your life and accepting that hope again and following the Holy Spirit and believing, or maybe it's just here to let someone know and be praying with you that says, I've lost my joy. I've lost my peace. I don't have that anymore. I need it back, God. Whatever the reason is that you are here this morning, validate that. Acknowledge it. And find that hope today. Find that hope for tomorrow. Won't you come? Won't you allow Christ to change you, to transform you? And renew you. Follow His example. Love one another in harmony with one voice this week. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy and that example that You set that says we can live in hope. We can find You faithful. We can find that joy in believing in You. And today, Lord, we are honored to gather here together with brothers and sisters who love their neighbors, who want to see them built up and encouraged. And while we're here today, Father, we might need just a little bit more of an understanding about the hope that You give us. That joy, that grace that comes through only through knowing You and living with the Holy Spirit. Today, Father, help us to find that joy and peace as we believe in You. As we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. We find hope and comfort and strength in You today. Father, thank You for the example that Christ set and the way that we can follow that. We don't always get it right. We make mistakes. We sin. We fall short. But we know that You love us. We know that You're here for us. Father God, we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's